Amen. Lord, we're just thankful that we can come together as a family and worship together and just focus upon you. And we just thank you for your love and just your consideration for each of us, and that we know we can trust you and you're faithful and you will answer. And Lord, we just praise you for that. So I just pray you meet with us this morning. Open your word up to us. Speak to us that we can have insight to you and what you're doing, Lord, and that truly we'd have a better understanding of walking with you in all that we do. Open each heart to receive and just anoint me with the Spirit to just speak things of the Spirit. And we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Every once in a while, you know, I'll tell you, we start a message, and I just love this title. Go ahead. Just what are your thoughts about this? The Law of Freedom. The Law of Freedom. Truly, you say, well, where would you get a title like that? And it's out of this scripture. It's just what, this is what the Lord says, the Law of Freedom. And so I just think it's fascinating. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to discuss and look at the Law of Freedom and this phrase. So to start off with, we're going to look at chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 22. So we're going to get to the Law of Freedom, but we're going to start off here with James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's like, oh my. See, this verse in James can be very challenging, you know, but if we stand on the foundation of what we know, the foundation that we're forgiven and eternally secure in Jesus, through Jesus, this verse and the other challenging verses in James are much easier to understand, okay? So, and it's really important to remember that as we look at James. We have to be secure in who we are and our understanding of our salvation. And then when we have that, knowing that we're totally forgiven, we're totally secure, then everything else has to build off of that or flows from that. Like this verse we're looking at this morning. You know, because if you don't have a solid foundation in Jesus, you can say, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself because you're going to hell. That's not what that says, okay? Because, and we know it's not what it says because what the entire Bible speaks of the salvation of Christ and our eternal security. And so that's where we start. Now, you could get there going the other way, but it's just so much easier to stand on what we already know. Amen? All right. So we see this. So in light of understanding this, we come to church, you know, Sunday after Sunday and examine the wonderful, majestic Word of God. And hopefully we come away encouraged, okay, encouraged. But here what we see is James tells us that when there is not any evidence of what we believe, we do not possess any faith. It's like, okay. So, well, there goes out the window of being encouraged by everything we read. It's like, oh my gosh. You know. But again, when we look at the Bible in context and what God's trying to communicate us, He's telling us everything, all that we need to know, all that we need to understand. And so, but here is very clear. It's a very strong word, and he's making a very convicting statement here, and saying there should be an evidence of faith. If you have faith, there should be some evidence of this. Now, James, as you go through James and study it, it totally agrees that we're saved by faith alone. But he is also saying that like Abraham, the man of faith, we should possess evidence of faith, okay? And if we think back on what it says in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called, went. Now, two things happened there with Abraham, the man of faith. He's the picture. And this is important. It said, when called, He went. It's not when called, he just said, whatever, not going, you know. No. And also, it didn't say he just decided to go. Two things happened. When called, he went. And so what James is doing, he's trying to pull all this together and say, wait a minute, I want all of y'all on board walking in the faith of God. I want you walking on there. Some things you need to understand, because we know what? There is a really interesting thing about our human decisions. Our human decisions. Jesus is okay. But sometimes our human decisions, we don't just keep in step very well, all right? So James is saying that enjoying a good sermon, reading the Bible, is absolutely useless, and even self-deception when this practice doesn't result in accompanying application. That's what he's saying. He said, listen, okay, you love the sermon. Well, it's worthless unless there's some application. This is where he's coming from. And so he's bringing this, you know, putting it kind of back into our lap here and says, listen, you have some responsibility. You have some responsibility here. Now, throughout the teaching of James, we mentioned before, James is kind of like a book of Proverbs in the New Testament. Okay, it's a New Testament book of Proverbs. And throughout the teaching of James, he reinforces over and over, he reinforces, put into practice what you profess. That's what he said. Just put into practice what you profess. You're professing it, you're believing it, put it into practice. Don't just idle words. And then he uses this next verse to describe this situation that he wants us to understand. So he wants us to understand, you know, of having evidence of faith. And if you look at verses, James chapter 1, verse 23 through 24, he explains it. He gives us some explanation here. For, you know, sin, don't be doers of the word, or not just hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. See? There's this picture. It's wonderful. This, you look at the word. It's just like a mirror. Wow. You shut it and you walk away and you forget all about it. He said, don't do that. He said, "That's if you forget, that's what it is. Like you look at your face in the mirror and you forget about, you know, what you saw. It's kind of like, you know, a guy gets up and he has to go to a party. He looks in the mirror and he says, gosh, I have to shave. Then he walks away and forgets about it and goes to the party. You see, what that's what it's saying. Well, why didn't you shave? I forgot. But he looked and he saw and he knew. And he left. It's like looking in the mirror and leaving and forgetting what you saw and just walking away. So likewise, and he's the picture he's tying together here. Likewise, a man, after hearing the word, knows what God expects of him. You looked in and you know. You didn't say, oh, I didn't know. Nah, you knew. No surprise. So he looks at, he knows what God expects of him, but he goes away forgetting what he heard. Forgetting what he heard. Now, the purpose of listening to truth is to act upon it. And this is where James is coming back. Well, here's the truth. Well, they need to act on it. You can't just walk away. You know, if you have any faith, you need to act on what you heard. You need to act on what you heard. But what he's saying here for this man, and we shouldn't be like this man, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You know, that's how you live your life. Out of sight, out of mind. Just, if you want to tie it, just think of your children. Just think. Hopefully they obey you. And then you leave them alone, out of sight, out of mind. They're great, you know. Why did you do that? I don't don't know. Don't know. You know, out of sight, out of mind. So here's the whole thing. He's pulling together. And so what you have here, a theoretical knowledge of spiritual truth is never commended in Scripture. You know, can search it if you want to and look at it. But just a theoretical understanding is not commended in the Bible, any place. In fact, it's condemned for the Christian knowledge is inseparably tied to experience. It's a work of experience. God says, okay, you have this, you know, treasure, and you should experience, okay? A believer is expected to act on what he hears, all right? So, driving home this whole point. And being obedient will not only accomplish what God desires, but the believer will also gain additional Bible knowledge by the experience. Okay? So now as you step out in, okay, it's like when you hear it, you forget, let it go. Just go on till the next time you hear something. You can get in the habit of that, you know, just out of sight, out of mind. But he's throwing another point here. Know that when you hear it and then you step out in it, then you grow in more knowledge. So it has a twofold effect. Okay, you're being obedient, but also you're, and he's accomplishing God's purpose, but also you're growing in that knowledge. Okay? If you never step out in experience, you never learn anything. You know, that's, you know, joking, I've heard this before. You know, they talk about college professors that just stay in the ivory tower, you know, and become brilliant, but never can give you any practical application. See, and God says, don't, because that can happen, because you can have learning an end into itself instead of a transforming power to make you something great, you know. And so the Bible is saying the same things in the same things in this situation. Now, so pulling this all together, then he comes and makes a real interesting point here in verse 25. And look in James, really interesting. And he says this, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. But, interesting, this is a big word, but the one who looks into the perfect law of freedom, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay, where's all this taking place? You know, in heaven? A way to get to heaven? No, it's taking place here. If you hear and do it, then you'll be blessed in your doing if you persevere. So he's making a point of the here and now on earth and how we function in it. Now, when you look at this, it's very interesting. And the Bibles have different things. You know, the NIV uses the law of freedom. The ESV, which I use, says the law of liberty. You know, I think the NIV is better because I think freedom's the word you should use. And that word's used a whole bunch, and most of the time it's translated freedom. I mean, liberty and freedom. But to me, I like freedom a lot better. Just I think it gives it the same word in a sense, but it kind of gives you a more applicable meaning, I think, freedom, when it says here. So what we're looking at here, and here's the point, okay? The whole context of this section concerns the believer looking into, and this is literally what it says. Again, the NIV adds, I'm saying, a good couple of words, but this is literally what it says. You intently, that word's in there also, you're intently, you didn't just browse through it, you intently look into the perfect law, the law of freedom. Now that's what it says. Look at the NIV and it says a little, and it says the freedom that, you know, which is fine. I think it explains it well. But that's not what it says. It says you look into the perfect law, the law of freedom. Now, we need to look at this. Now, I think as we look at this, we have a deeper understanding of what God is trying to tell us in other scripture, and also really highlighting in this scripture the way it's presented, okay? Because why would you call, I mean, the perfect law, and then the law of freedom. The use of the word law is significant here. It's significant. Now, it reveals, number one, it reveals the Jewish orientation of the early believers. Okay, so it acquires, you know, it needs some attention because of the reason he wrote it like this, because all the early believers were the Jews. They Jews. And no question of this, okay? And so the early church, the primary, even when it was growing in its infant stages and the Gentiles start coming in, still the primary believers were Jews. In fact, if you read the first three verses of James, you can see, because the introduction is there, it talks about the Jewish people. Well, what about everybody else? Well, because the primary audience were Jews. Okay, they were believers, but they had the Jewish background. He says, so I'm going to speak directly to you so you understand. Does it apply to us? Absolutely, 100% applies to us, but we can see the focus that he says, now you're going to see it from the Jewish point of view, but it's also going to give you greater revelation. So this shows, use of the word law, is a Jewish orientation. It's okay. Why is this such a big deal? Why do I keep going over it? Because we need to understand the full picture of what it's telling us here. What we do, we see the whole Old Testament from Genesis to Revelation when we see this. So he looks at the Jewish people who understand the law, and he's, listen, you understand the law, but you look into the perfect law. Well, we have the perfect law. He goes, no, you don't. And you need to look at this law of freedom. No, this gives you rules to follow. No, it doesn't. You see what he's doing? No. It doesn't do what you think it is. It's not perfect what you're talking about, and it is free what I'm talking about. So he has their full attention, and he's driving home the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with this. So when we look at this, when James qualifies the word law, James qualifies the word law to make sure his readers understand the full revelation of God. He's making a point. I want you to understand all the revelation. You Jews who have the law, I want you to make sure you have the full revelation of the law. And what we have here, so we see here in the full revelation of law, he describes the law as perfect, and he characterizes it as it by freedom. So the law is perfect, characterized by freedom. All right, we know that, but they didn't. The word law is not merely the Old Testament law or a legalistic system of earning salvation by good works. James calls it the perfect law. He means the sum total of God's revealed truth culminating in the revelation of Christ and the redemption of man. That's why it's perfect. Jesus made it perfect. See? Now think, if you will, on that, you know, in our own walk, you know. And this is really helpful for legalists. You know, we got to follow the rules, you know. God is telling us to follow the rules. And he's actually telling us something opposite. He said, if you just go about follow the rules, it's an anathema, and you've rejected Christ. You see how bad legalism is? See, well, what here, the legalisms, the people that are legalistic out the kazoo are right with the Jews. In fact, the unbelieving Jews followed Paul around, and he considered them a curse because they kept trying to put Paul and all the people he talked to under the law. See, they follow. He'd go to the synagogue, and that's what caused the problem. In fact, when they had him in Jerusalem, and they brought him before the council there, and it says, listen, this guy speaks against the law and the temple. See, that was their issue. And Paul goes, no, I don't. completes all of this. And so that became a huge, huge thing in the early church and even with the Gentiles, because the Jews would come follow and go and talk to the Jews. The Gentiles knows this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not standing for us. So all of that said, when you look at this, what is so important, what James says, okay, no, we have the perfect law. Perfect law, because it culminates in Jesus. The Old Testament culminates in Jesus. Okay, the Old Testament culminates in the redemption of man. And you know, one of the things I've shared with you before, and God showed me, like reading the scripture, and says the Bible is the unfolding revelation of Jesus and the redemption of man. That's what James is saying. See, and it's perfect. Now it's perfect with Jesus and redemption of man. It's totally perfect. So he says, when you look into the perfect law, you see Jesus. You see the redemption of man. But he doesn't end it there. He goes, also the law's freedom. The whole thing of freedom. And we know, we love freedom. Amen? We love freedom. See, James, with all these rules, he loved freedom. He loved freedom. And he's going to explain how freedom fits in to this perfect law that ends with Jesus and redemption of man. And he says right here, the law of freedom is not enforced by external compulsion. The law. Not enforced by external compulsion. Instead, it is freely accepted, and the people are empowered from within by the Holy Spirit, as promised in the Old Testament. All God's people say, what? Amen. No, he said, no, it's free. No, there's no outward law. No more. There's no more outward. Romans 10:4 says it. Law is done with. Says it over and over. See, and so, and I love Romans 3:19-20. Says the law was given to prove you guilty and that you can't keep it. And what do? Try to keep it. But he said, no, I gave it to prove you can't keep it. See? And so what here, and he says, what I've done, I've given you the perfect law, and it's freedom. It's freedom. That's the perfect law, it's freedom. Now see, you hear the church, and you have the birth of the church. You have the birth of the church, culminating Christ and freedom. Totally freedom. You can't just let us loose. Yeah, I gave you the Holy Spirit. And so the compulsion comes from within. Comes in. Well, wait a minute. I need an outside law. I don't even mean to upset anybody. But if you say you need an outside law, you don't have any Holy Spirit in you working. I need an outside law, you know, not to kill somebody. I really need a thou shalt not kill somebody. No, I don't. I don't need that law. I don't, because I have it within. I mean, I can't. The comprehension of that is detestable because it comes from within. It doesn't come from without. It comes from within. And when it comes from within, it's a compulsion that you behave out of that. Out of that. Now, what James is saying, hey, so you're reading the word and you're walking off like you never read nothing. God just told you something, and from within, why isn't there any action from within you? You're deceived. You're deceived. He didn't say, you are sinning and going to hell. He goes, no, you're deceived. You're a believer walking around deceived. If you are a believer, I don't see any evidence. And I'm just saying, what's going on with you? What is going on with you in this? So it all comes back here, but the verse is, after you look into, okay, he's talking to believers, after you look into the perfect law, not the Old Testament, the perfect law that culminates in Jesus, It's the law of freedom. That's what we have. That's what the church has, the law of freedom. And why is that? We stand on the Lord Jesus Christ free. We are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit works through us. Now, he also says in the New Testament, transform your mind. Learn something. You ever read something in the scripture and you go, oh my goodness, I didn't know. And so he tells us something. Or have you ever something bother you from within? I don't feel right about this. See, all of a sudden you got this whole dynamic working that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the scripture, and the Holy Spirit works with us through him. I love what it says, and I think it's in Hebrews, and it talks about, it quotes a scripture, an Old Testament scripture, and it says this, as the Holy Spirit said, and he quotes Old Testament scripture. Where did we get that Old Testament scripture? The Holy Spirit said. See, so the Holy Spirit wrote it. The Holy Spirit interprets it. When you read it, you ought to do something about what you read. Because the Holy Spirit just interpreted to you what he wrote. What he wrote. Now, so this whole dynamic is taking place that he's showing us here about what we're looking into and what the Bible is and what God has presented us. And it's a perfect law and a law of freedom. Just continue. Had a thought. I'll hold that. So he's driving home this whole point that this is where we are, what we have. And he says, we'll go, why is he telling us this? Okay, we go back to the first. He says, I don't want you deceived. Are you deceiving yourself? It's a question. Are you deceiving yourself? Are you paying any attention? Does this make any difference to you whatsoever? Now, so when we look at this perfect law, this law of freedom, says when we look intently into the perfect law, which is the full revelation of God, and apply what we hear, he makes a promise. Y'all will read the promise? See? Look at the promise he makes it. When you do this, when you look into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and you look intently, okay, we should start there. Well, you look intently, you look at it, you know it's there, you persevere, and you don't forget, you will be blessed in your doing. Now, you will be blessed in your, you will be blessed when you get to heaven and glorious angels. He goes, no, you'll be blessed in doing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. See, on earth. And the perfect law and the law of freedom works here on earth. On earth. And so he's really saying, listen, you want to have that power of the Lord Jesus Christ working through you and doing the things he said. This is what you need to do. Don't just like look in the mirror and walk off. This, the word should have an impact. And again, it should have it's the word that has impact. So he says, you will be blessed in what you do. Now just let me summarize what this whole thing says. All right, the whole thing says about how we will be blessed in our doing. Now, does everybody here want to be blessed in their doing? See, God says, I want you blessed in your doing. I'm trying to, here's the New Testament book of Proverbs about doing, and I want you blessed in your doing. And so that's the reason the word's there. And again, it is not, okay, you mess up, you're going to hell. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. And you think, and we're going to see a couple of messages in the next 2 weeks, you're going to see where people have a real problem. So, well, wait a minute. God is saying, to have a relationship with him, you've got to do. And he said, no, you don't have to do. You have the relationship with what Jesus did. But there should be evidence. It's a difference. Amen? You see the difference? All right. So here, what do we have? We summarize this verse here in verse 25. And this is how we are blessed in our doing. In our doing. You know, when you walk out the church, you're going to have some doing. Right? You just, the life is full of doing. Okay, well, how do we get through this? Number one, there's four of them. Number one here, and I'm just restating what's there. Number one is you look intently into the Word of God. Word of God. Well, you don't look at it. Don't read it. I mean, Christians, you don't read the Bible. You don't care what the Bible says. You know, it's, I believe I'm forgiven. Well, then, okay, but I don't know you're going to go to heaven and Jesus loves you, but you're not going to be blessed in your doing. So you're not going to be, you don't know. You're not going to be blessed in your doing. And it takes some decision on your part. I need to read this. I need to read this. You know, it's important, you know, learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also you be blessed in your doing. And I think there's a twofold. This is my opinion. Sometimes you read, a lot of times you read, and it tells you to stop. This is what to do. Okay, oh my God, okay, need to do this. But I believe you're blessed because you read it. God's going to bless you because you read it, you know, and you're going to be blessed. You're doing, not even, you're not even aware of what it is. He's just going to bless you because you read it. You were obedient to me. And so God is working through. Okay, that's number one. Look intently to the Word of God. And it says this, persevere in the Word of God. Persevere. And that's what this verse said. When you see it, I was really blessed yesterday. And I was reading, and I never could get my arms totally around this. And it was talking about how you grow, and, you know, you go through endurance, and then, you know, it builds character, and then it gives you hope, and then it says your hope will never forsake you, you know. And then God pours out his love. Well, I got to the point, got the character building thing, what you're saying, and it says, and he will never bring you to any shame because he poured out his love. I couldn't make the connection, you know. Okay, I see you got the hope, but then you kind of just threw it into a cloud, you know. When you get to heaven or whatever, you know, I couldn't see any concrete things there. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it says it builds character, and character is hope, and that hope will never bring you shame because that hope is coupled with God's love. Oh, does that just give you chills? That did me. Do you see what that was saying to me? And it's like, okay, I saw character and your hope and expectation, and that expectation will never bring shame because that hope is coupled in God's love, which he pours out. And he'll never bring shame. That's why you persevere through trials and builds character. And then you have the hope. There's no shame. There's no shame because of God's love. Amen? That's what this is. It's persevere in God's word. There'll be no shame to it. There'll be no shame. What's our hope? God. And there's no shame. And that's coupled with God's love. Persevere in God's word. Okay, number two. Number three is it? Yes. Number three. Don't forget. Don't forget. See what we heard. And again, don't forget what we heard from God. You know, as I share with you as an imperfect minister and whatever my thoughts are, and, you know, share with each one of you, you know, and hopefully it's encouraging. But what you never forget is what God convicts you of, and the word speaks to you, and you go, oh my gosh, this is what God meant from what the word said, from what the word, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Because what he did, he just told you. He just told you. Have you ever went through a message or read the Bible and you said, somebody said, look what God said, do you see that? And they go, no, I don't see that. Have you ever had that? I had it too all the time. Look, here, God just told me this. What do you think? I do it, Linda, all the time. What do you think? I think it says this. She goes, I don't see that. You know, I said, well, I love you, but I'm sorry I ask you. Here, But you know why that happens? Do you know why that happens? Because God spoke it to me. He spoke it to me. See, this word, I can't wait to tell so-and-so. You know, God didn't tell so-and-so. Don't expect them to be excited because he told you. See, and so this is what the Bible is saying. You don't forget what I told you. When you stand before God in heaven, I promise you, when you stand before God in heaven and he goes, well, I want to know what Wallace told you. Ain't happening. You know, well, once he said, what'd I tell you? What'd I tell you? And that's the things that stick in your heart. See, and this is all the whole thing God's saying. This is what James is saying. He's bringing this, you know, all together here. And then, so all of that. Look intently, persevere, do not forget. But then hit, you have to act. Abraham, when heard, went. See, whole thing of why Abraham is a man of faith is because two things apply. He was called, and then he went. Now, if he is called and didn't go, there's a word for that, being called and not going. It's called disobedience. See, so hearing doesn't help. Hearing doesn't help. Okay, and when did he go? When did he go? He went after he heard. You know, after he was called. Now, what happens if you got a great idea and say, I'm just going to go, and I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to ask God to bless what I do? See? Now, God has a word for that, too. Presumption. Disobedience and presumption are both the same things. See? And, you know, and again, someone will come and they'll have a great idea, you know, and it's like, I have this great idea, you know, and you're going, I don't see that happening. That doesn't sound like a calling. That sounds like presumption. Now, you can't tell them, okay, but you don't have to join them. You see what I'm saying? And maybe they're right. Who knows? Maybe God, but he didn't call you. You see what I'm saying? Okay, you hear, he calls. Okay, you don't go, that's just disobedience. If you don't hear and you go, that's presumption. So what we have here, God is telling us so clearly, look intently, persevere, do not forget, then act on what he says. Then here's God's promise. This verse is his promise. We will be blessed in what we do. It's here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. On earth. As it is in heaven. It's on earth. What we do. But God says for him to bless what you do, you have to spend time with him and look at what he says. What he says. And don't be, you look into the word, and we drive that home all the time. You look in the word and we say, something is difficult, something's too hard, something, I don't know what's going on. He's listening, you're just listening to me. And if you do it, if you step into it, I'll bless you because you read it. Because you read it and you're being obedient, whatever you understand. God is saying. Why you spend time? People say, well, what's the creed, the key to the Christian life? This is what it is, but it's a relationship with God, and he wants us to bless us. And also, I have to add this. It says, this is not a promise to a person who reads a lot of books or goes to a lot of conferences. This is only promise to a person who intently looks into the perfect law of freedom. That's who's promised. What I had the thought to tell you before and I held it, I got to tell you. This was so good, and it was, I'm trying to think how good. Someone said this, and I'll share with you in just a minute. And they said it, and because they said it, I have confidence to repeat it because I thought it. And it's like, oh my gosh, that might have been a bad thought, because he said it. He said, and there's another person that one time told me this. Now, you've heard me say, and I want to put this before you, you've heard me say, and I'll say, you don't need a PhD, you know, you don't need to be a theologian, the Bible just tell you what he says, you don't need this kind of stuff. Now, some of you might think, you know, it's like, well, he's against PhDs or theologians, and I'm not, but there's one reason I do say it, because you don't have to have a PhD to read the Bible. And you don't need to be a theologian. And whoever reads the Bible, whoever they're, God will speak to them through the Scriptures. And don't think you have to have some higher education to understand the Scriptures. You don't. And that's the reason I said, I don't want anyone to ever think they have to have some sort of higher education to understand the Scriptures. All you got to do is read the Scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit who wrote the Scripture is in you. He's a great interpreter of his word that he wrote. See? And he will bring to mind things you need for you in that specific time. Powerful things. Amen? The first person I went to when I first started going to RBC, and so I was, first time I was learning something, and Pastor Minner told me, I went to him, I said, you know, I'd like to go to Bible college. I told him, Pastor Minner. And he goes, you don't need to go to Bible college. I mean, he's all you need, the way God brought you. You just need to read the word and talk to people. That's it. That was my discipleship from Pastor. He says, you just read the word and talk to people. I asked him a deep theological question one time. And he said, what's the word say? I said, well, I read it. I don't understand it. He said, well, read it then until you understand it and come tell me. Well, the piece of that was wonderful, absolutely glorious, is he pointed me every single time to the Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. And so I kind of bought into that. I bought into that, you know. And then I got the feeling, it's like, and saying, I said, I don't know that, you know, going to Bible school and to get seminary degrees, and I know some great people, but I've seen too much kind of damage. I don't see the big, you know, powerful men and women of God, the ones coming out of Bible school and theological seminaries. There are other people that have dealt in different types of ways. And I said, I just don't see the need. I think the need, you just need to be in the Scriptures, constantly in the Scriptures, and God will teach you. He will teach you. Now, that's what I never said to anybody, you know, because I didn't, you know, that's kind of presumptuous, right? Oh, I have, Susan, what do you like? R.T. Kendall's little, he has these little 2-minute X. Yeah, Susan listens to R.T. Kendall on X. So we had R.T. Kendall, and he came up, and so it was a 2-minute thing. R.T. Kendall, which is a great guy, we've read his books and stuff. Outstanding theologians, been to Oxford, all these. I mean, he's got all the degrees in the world. And so he's 87, I guess he's 90 now. So he had this thing, and it said legacy. And I said, okay. This is what he says about legacy. And this is, I'll paraphrase it, but this is what he said. He says, people ask me about legacy. He says, right now, at this age, I say, if I want to leave legacy to anyone, legacy is it for them. And here's how he said it. He says, I have, and he went through his degrees. And, I mean, bizarre how, you know, how Spartan, he went through his degrees and everything. And he said, all that. He goes, that's not my legacy. And then this is what he said. I don't even consider it helpful. I don't even consider it helpful. My legacy to leave, that someone would read the Bible daily, constant, nothing but read the Bible. The world, he said it, I didn't. The world's full of pastors that never look into the Bible unless they want to read us, do a sermon. Now, you read the Bible all the time, and you go and let God speak to you, and that God, and all you need, you don't need any degree, you just need to read the Word of God, and he'll transform you into a powerful man and woman of God. I said, well, hallelujah, brother. You know, it's a, well, I can say I believe that, but it's his fault. He said it. That's just what he's saying. But the whole point of it, this is what James is saying. This is what James is saying. Read the Word, the perfect Word, the law of freedom. Read of it. And as you pour yourself into the Scriptures, he will reveal to you and he will bless you in what you do. He will bless you in what you do. Now again, if you want to approach God and do what he says, you have to be in the Scriptures, and he'll reveal to you things you never, ever imagined. Never, ever imagined. Now, okay, we have that. This is how the book of Proverbs and James ends. In this section, this is how he ends it. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the section ends, based on what we've been talking about, the section's end in verses 26 through 27, says this. Okay, so we have this. We're looking in the perfect law of liberty, perfect law of freedom. And it says this. Bridle your tongue. Visit orphans and widows. Keeps oneself unstained from the world. He just said. I mean, with a bridle your tongue. Visit orphans and widows. Now, keep oneself unstained from the world. See, these activities are not to be a complete list, okay? He didn't mean this to be a complete list. But what he did here, these are given to emphasize the type of action our hearing should produce. See, it's an example. He's given, this is time. Like, if you have a heart, you know, keep your mouth, bridle your tongue, listen. If you have a heart to be with widows and orphans, you know, keep unstained from the world. If your heart's like that, okay, that's an evidence of the law of freedom in your life. Now, God's making that connection. Do you see why God's making that connection? He said, no, here's the true law, perfect law, law of freedom. They bridle their tongue and help orphans and widows. Now, that's who I'm looking for. And stay unstained from the world because they want to be with me. It's the law. That's the complete law. That's the whole wad right there. That's the whole law. And we say, you know, it's not a bunch of rules you keep. It's who you are. It's who you are. And so what we have here, and so this is emphasizing the type of action our hearing should produce. It's how the interaction. Now, James 2, verse 8. James 2, verse 8 shows the clearest evidence of a person looking into the perfect law of freedom and acting on what he hears. Here it is. Here's the law. Here's the law we need to walk on. We're going to see it next week. We're going to be judged on this law. The law, he says, here's how I'm going to judge you. It's based on this law right here, the perfect law of freedom. Okay, read James 2:8. You have fulfilled. Wait, what does that word say? What does the word say? Don't skip it. You have fulfilled. You did the whole ball of wax. You fulfilled. You have fulfilled the royal law. And I think the royal law is that perfect law, the law of freedom. You have fulfilled the royal law according to the Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now you're doing well. There it is. There it is. There's not an ounce of legalism in that. Not an ounce of legalism. You fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. And that law is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. the royal law of love is the perfect law of freedom. Hey, brothers and sisters, that's it. That's our functioning. What's our now go back to what Jesus said. Go back to what Jesus said. The law, the Pharisee came up and says, Jesus, tell us the greatest law. Of course, if you're a Jewish Pharisee, that's what you would want to know. What is the greatest law? And he goes, the greatest law is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this. And all of the prophets in the scripture hang on this. Legalism is deathly. Deathly. God says you're separated from Christ if you're legalism. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, fought against legalism. Okay, why? Because it's deadly. But freedom is powerful. Well, how can freedom? I don't have any rules. How can it be powerful? Because when you break through that legalism and rely on the Holy Spirit of God and you're in the Word of truth, the Word of freedom, and the Holy Spirit power is working through you, you know, you start functioning and acting like Jesus. Gosh, I should go in here, but this is going to be mess up my fellowship with Jesus. I'm not going to do that. I just want to focus on Christ. I don't want to do that. You see what I'm saying? Jesus turned the whole world upside down. He turned it, and the Bible comes to an end to reveal himself through Jesus in freedom. In freedom. And the freedom is the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. The beggar asking Peter, for money. He says, I don't have any money. I'll give you what I have. Get up and walk. See? I give you what I have. Here are the rules you need to follow. And if you behave, I'll give you, get up and walk. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit working. And then what it is, then Jesus was communicated to this man. Now, it is, you could say, well, why spend so much time and much emphasis? And some of you think, man, a little repetition. Wait till next week. We'll do repetition on repetition. But James did it. I'm just following suit. Okay. Why is James making such a point of this? And why is he saying this? Why do we look at this? Because the power of Christ is in it. The power of Christ, that's why. Wallace, how do you know that? He says, because if you do this, you'll be blessed in your doing. That's why. He says, I'm telling you how this thing works. I'm telling you how it works. So, hallelujah. The royal law. Love your neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you fulfilled. The word's fulfilled. It's a done deal. And what Jesus said, all the scriptures hang on this. They just hang on it. Well, how I do here, I'm in all the hangy stuff. No, just do this. Love the Lord your God with all the heart, mind, and soul, your neighbor as yourself. And all the hangy stuff will start making sense. All the hanging stuff will start making sense. So, we come to close it with this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. Finished. It's done. It is done. It is done. And the only thing that can convolute it and make it not work is for us to try to do something to help him. He said, no, that's an anathema. That's anathema. Because when you do stuff to help him, you're saying, you didn't do enough for me. See? So it's like, all God's people say, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and how you laid this out. It's so interesting. You know, and we thank you that you wanted to make a point to us, and you wanted to make a point that truly, truly, you have saved us, and you continually work in our lives today. We will be blessed in our doing. We will be blessed in our doing when we look to you. Love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. Love our neighbor as ourselves. You will be blessed in your doing. So, Lord, we thank you for that insight, and we thank you that you teach us, continually teach us things that helped us, for us, and you speak to us in a powerful way as we look into your word, for us to grab hold of what you speak to us and walk and see you move in a powerful way. So, God, we give thanks to you, and we want to just thank you for our salvation. Lord, what a miracle that is. And so, God, we give you all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, hallelujah. And I think we have some refreshments in the back. You know, Adam is here, but he refuses to close us in music. And so we accept his disobedience. Not it. Go ahead, stand, and please.